During the year, and we've woken him up, opened up the coffin lid, and Addy's come. The nocturnally usual Geoffrey Poulter is in the studio with me, with thanks to the Emerald Hotel in South Melbourne. Hello, Geoffrey.
Morning, Kevin.
You strange, can see daylight.
Strange at this hour, yes.
Now, normally you're with Finey in the nocturnal conversations that you have with some of the greats of our sport, and today is no exception with the gentleman that is with us in the studio.
Oh, no, we've got an exceptional guest today, Kevin. Lindsay Gaze, Mr. Basketball, a man who's the most important basketball figure in Australian basketball history. And we also can speak to him about his connection with footy, of course, because he played in the 1956 Olympics, and he played with Melbourne under-19s, Paran, and in the Federal League.
Good stuff. Hello, Linz.
Good morning.
How are you?
Pretty good, I hope. been a while since I've been tested, but so far feeling okay.
No, because coaching is the most stressful thing I reckon you can do in a sporting. It's far more stressful than playing. Playing, you just get out there and do it. Whereas when you're coaching, the weight of all the players, all the sponsors, all the supporters, all the media is sitting on your shoulders.
Well, I think much depends on how you manage all those elements, that providing you are objective and providing you are doing your best, well, then I think you can manage it fairly well. But when things don't go the way that you planned, or that you might have some problems with the playing personnel or the administrative personnel, that's when you get tested. And in my time, there's been plenty of opportunities for being tested, but by and large, I think that the objective way of dealing with problems and handling those issues makes it less stressful.
Now, one of the things Geoffrey's really good at is bringing up your past. Now we're gonna leave you as a coach and go with you as a player. Now, yes. You, as a footy player.
That's right. Well, Lindsay played with the Melbourne under-19s, and he played in the Federal League, got knocked around a bit, had his nose broken a few times, and he played for Paran and the VFA. And in the 1956 Olympics, there was a presentation game, and Lindsay will explain to us exactly what it was, and he was involved in that.
Well, I was involved, but not to a great extent, because I was like what has been the case in the AFL recently. I was like a green shirt.
Okay.
That didn't quite get on. Right. But so in the team, but not in the game.
So what was the premise? Was it an exhibition game to show the people that were in the stadium and around the world?
It was a demonstration sport. Each host of the Olympic Games has the right to introduce a sport or have a demonstration sport. And so, I mean, some sports have emerged as regular fixtures in the Olympic Games from that experience. I don't think that we ever expected Australian rules football to become a fixture in the Olympic Games ongoing. Yeah. But because it was our, I think realistically saying, our national sport at that time, then it was appropriate to have a demonstration game. So that was played between the amateurs of the league and the association, forming one team, against the combined amateurs of Australian football forming the other team. And in retrospect, it seems to me still surprising that the AFL-VFL or VFA team lost, considering the outstanding talent that emerged from the VFL team. You know, some really iconic players who built their histories in the game.
Who was involved?
Well, there's players like Brian Gray, Collingwood, Dennis Cordner, Brian Turner, Brendan Edwards from Hawthorn.
Yeah, geez.
Yeah, there's a whole list of them that were to become icons of the sport, but we lost.
Did you in the early days? Footy, you were heavily involved in Australian rules footy. Was that on an equal balance with basketball? Or
well, when I was a kid at school, you only had two options. You played football in the winter and cricket in the summer.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're a little bit limp-wristed, you might have a go at tennis. There was the annual...
magic year for tennis.
No, I play tennis. Well, maybe I'm limp-wristed as well, but...
you wouldn't be saying that to Ken Rosewall.
No, he's one of the greats of the Hall of Fame, Sport Australia Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, I've met him a few times. And, no, I say that facetiously time.
Know.
And so when you had those minimal choices, that football was my game until my brother spent 2 years trying to convince me to have a go at basketball. He'd been introduced to the sport by a work colleague who was one of the heroes of the war and in the CMF, the Citizens Military Forces, after the war. And he was a workmate of my brother's and introduced him to basketball. But my brother took 2 years before he convinced me to have a go. And so we formed a team with the three Gaze boys and a couple of other mates. And I was told later on that the strategy was get the Gaze boys fighting and you'll win. So... sometimes we became aware of that, and sometimes we pretended to be fighting amongst ourselves, but we'd still win. So anyway, it was the 1956 Olympic Games where basketball became identified with the likes of Bill Russell and Casey Jones.
Yeah,
and they became superstars of international sport in basketball. So that sort of converted me, because at the time I thought if I could be the best I could possibly be playing football, I'd get to play on the MCG. Mm. And I was already doing that, with the under-19s.
Mm.
I thought if I got to be the best I could possibly be in playing basketball, there might even be a chance that I could travel the world, because we were not too well endowed with financial resources in our family. And that proved to be the way that I got immense benefits and rewards from the international experience that I got through basketball.
So you were about 20 when the Olympic Games were on. And you played basketball for the next 20-odd years. But how long did the footy go for? Was you just about finished with footy?
It only went till 1958. Eight was my last year.
Right, about 22, yeah.
Because at the end of the year, we opened the Albert Park Basketball Stadium.
Right.
That was a conversion of some old army storage sheds. And I was asked if I'd be prepared to be the manager of the facility. That became the manager of the state association and evolved. So I thought at the time that I might be able to play basketball during the week, footy on the weekend, and in between do some renovating of old houses, which I'd done with my mother during my college days. That was fanciful. It turned out to be fanciful because basketball became virtually a 16-hour-a-day job for me, 7 days a week, and just consumed me with playing and with the administration and development.
Yeah. Jeez. So, and then began the career. You coached the Melbourne Tigers for 35 years. You played in 64-68 Olympics. You coached the Australian team 72 to 84. So, you know, you've got a fantastic record. And the other aspect is that you've got a famous son called Andrew, and he's coaching Sydney at the moment. And you'd probably prefer him to be coaching Melbourne.
Absolutely, you know, that the circumstances where the Melbourne United emerged from the former Melbourne Tigers, that was a disappointing experience for me. And Andrew had a very, very difficult time making a decision in regard to the offer he received to coach the Sydney team. Mm. He said no at least three times.
Mm.
And so further discussions were conducted. And then he thought, well, if I'm going to have a career in coaching basketball, when would be likely to be the next opportunity? And it was not foreseeable. So ultimately he agreed to accept the job in Sydney, and now he's paying the penalty.
Is he still allowed in the house? Is he still allowed in your house?
Oh, of course, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. Albeit even by phone most of the time. So we catch up very regularly, especially in the postmortems of games and discussing those things. And, you know, I'm feeling for him because the stress that he is under is the same as any other coach in the league at present. It's just so incredibly tight, and the talent around the league is so good that, you know, the pressure for getting success in your games is immense.
Is the game changed enough for him not to have his own views rather than sort of use the old Lindsay Gaze textbook?
He has his own views. I strongly disagree with some of his application of the rules for playing defence. And, you know, there are rules in the game. When I say rules, that you have strategies, say, defensively, do you push your opponent to the middle, or do you push them to the side or the baseline or whatever? Andrew was influenced greatly by his experience in the NBA and the way that they play. And I argue that we don't have Tim Duncans in our league.
we don't.
We don't have Kareem Jabbar in our league. We're big monster on the inside.
Yep.
Plus, the NBA rules are different to FIBA rules. And so, therefore, some adjustment. Anyway, we agreed to disagree on that.
All right. And, well, Lindsay Gaze is with us, one of the icons of Australian sport, and in particular, basketball. Jeffrey?
Lindsay, you would have been chuffed in February 2015 when you were inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in Massachusetts. That was a terrific performance.
That was an extraordinary shock for me. When one of my good basketball friends rang me and said, I want to give you the news that you've been inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame, I thought he was carrying on with just one of his practical jokes. There's two primary organisations. There's FIBA, that's the International Basketball Federation, and there's the Naismith Hall of Fame, which is based in the United States. And the Naismith Hall of Fame was noted primarily just for identifying American players, and they've done that. And it's only in recent years that they've gone international as well. So there are two basic halls of fame, the FIBA Hall of Fame and the Naismith Hall of Fame. Now, I'd previously been inducted into the FIBA Hall of Fame, which was in itself a shock as well, but the Naismith Hall of Fame just seemed to be way out of kilter, because
and it is my record all is not the names, that good. All the names that everyone knows in basketball are in that Naismith Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, it was certainly difficult for me, because being in an environment of squillionaires, all the players that are inducted have come through mostly the ranks of the NBA.
Yep.
And some outstanding, iconic international players now. So I'm still figuring out on what basis I might have been selected for that. And the only conclusion I can come to, that those who are in the selection panel must have been among those coaches and teams that we brought to Australia. So maybe a suggestion that they did that.
No, I think you thoroughly deserve it, no doubt about that.
Lindsay, in 1977 you wrote a book called Better Basketball. Now, is it time to do a sequel, and do you need a ghost?
Actually, yeah. Well, I started off many years before that with Beginning Basketball.
Right.
That was just like almost a little brochure, the fundamentals of the sport, because there were very few coaches in the game at that time with any sort of education at all. So that sold more copies. We did sell them, but it sold more copies than the Bible. But then later on, coaches would ask about taking the next step in developing methods and team methods and offensive drills and things like that. So that became Better Basketball. And then recently I collaborated with Andrew to some degree in taking that next step and calling it modern basketball.
Oh, yeah, we've done that. Okay.
But the modern way is not to have that published in book form,
right?
Which I disagree with, but I'm not of the modern era.
It's online.
It's online.
It's an e-book. Yep.
Yeah, so we have modern basketball is online now. Actually, I've never seen it online, but it is online. And so, you know, trying to help a bit more of the education of the sport.
Linz, there's a real surge happening in interest in basketball. I won't say, because we've had this conversation on radio several times about participation versus interest, but the interest in the NBL this year is as good as I've seen it in a number of years.
Yeah.
The competition itself is as good as I've seen it to watch in a number of years. The evenness is fantastic in terms of watching a game. You don't know who's going to win.
Yep.
It's not one of those where it was a couple of years ago where Illawarra were playing whoever and you knew who was going to win the game. Mm. Are you happy where basketball's at right now?
I think it's fantastic. And
good.
There are some good reasons for that. The sport is now administered virtually by private enterprise.
Yep.
The bureaucracy has gone out of it at that level.
Yep.
You know, it's still well entrenched at all the other levels. At that level, and decisions have been made that in the past were disputed or contradicted, and in particular, the salary cap and the restriction on foreign players. I've advocated all my career that we should eliminate restrictions on foreign players. There's always been a very, very strong majority against that. I've had to accept that. But now there's still restrictions, but I think they're far more sensible restrictions. And the talent in the league this year is clearly the best we've ever had.
Yep.
And some outstanding players of international quality and spread evenly throughout the competition. So that has meant there's been some excellent games being played every week. The fans have responded to that. Full houses everywhere.
Yeah, there is.
I still think it's a bit too expensive for families to get to the game, but it's still getting full houses. So I think the sport is in good shape because now we have a phenomenal base at the junior level and the participation area. In fact, it's almost to the point of embarrassment where we're desperately seeking some attention from our politicians and the bureaucrats. We urgently need more court space.
Okay.
Because whilst every venue is full with participation, we can't find anywhere to train.
Oh, okay.
And plus, we have waiting lists. This year in the competitions I've run, we've had between 15 and 30 teams on the waiting list. It's crazy. Gee, this is at MSAC. So the sport at the base level is going along at a great rate, desperately needing more court space. And at the highest level, we're now very competitive internationally, and our local competition is as good as anywhere.
And we're that conversion, which I guess was what we didn't see in Andrew's time, was we saw Andrew and we saw Shane Heal and we saw a sprinkling of players come through. But now we've got, I think we've got nearly a dozen or whatever it is, players playing very high-level NBA in America and across all different leagues in the world. So we're starting to convert those players into real international players.
It's an interesting trend in that we have many players now, whereas, let's say in my era, we were desperate to recruit international players to come in and enhance our league.
Yep.
Now it's almost like it's on the other foot, where international teams, the colleges in the United States, even high schools in the United States, are looking to Australia for their recruits. And so now we've got players all over the world, and our national team is somewhat like soccer. All of our national level players are playing overseas.
Yep.
So there's still a dilemma. Whilst our competition is of very high standard, our players are being attracted to other countries where they're getting paid much more. They're getting paid pretty well here in Australia now as well, but they're getting paid much more internationally. So those players are going off internationally and coming back to Australia, maybe in the twilight of their careers, but still, players like David Anderson, who's making a huge impact.
Yeah, he is.
He's had a fantastic international career, and he's helping our league right now with the injection of his talent currently with the United team.
No, it's good stuff. Fantastic to have you in the studio, Jeffrey. Thank you for putting all this together and getting young Lins in to have a chat to us. We watch. When you watch Andrew coaching, do you see yourself?
Not in a fit.
Oh, turn it up.
I would sit there and people would say, "Is he inert on the bench? You know, is he really interested?" Andrew has joined the modern era of parading up and down in front of the bench and expressing all of the anxiety.
Talking to the officials.
And I've got to try to convince him that that doesn't help. just be calm, be patient, and she'll be right.
No, beautiful. Thanks for coming in, Lindsay. We appreciate it. And look, the impression you've made on basketball has been enormous, and you continue to do so and for many, many years to come. Thanks for coming in today.
Absolutely.